Open your Bibles to the book of Genesis, chapter 40. We'll take in chapters 40 and 41 as we continue to study through the entire book of Genesis. When we finish Genesis, we'll probably be jumping into the gospel according to Matthew, learning about our Lord Jesus Christ. After that, we'll probably bounce back right into Exodus and pick up from there, and we'll go back and forth, old and new. And I think it'll be a great blessing for all. We find here in Genesis chapter 40, as we continue to pick up the life of Joseph. Joseph was accused of rape, falsely accused, by Potiphar, who's an officer in the Egyptian army, empire. And the wife of Potiphar, as he was out in the field doing his work as a military man, she accused Joseph, who was a servant in the house. He was sold as a slave, became a servant in their household. He was young, he was good looking, she was a cougar, and she wanted him, okay? And since he didn't fall for her temptation and he ran, she accused him of rape, and now he's thrown in prison. You know, life has a lot of interesting twists and turns, does it not? You don't quite understand. Always remember this, my dear Christians. Satan is a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And he will use all kinds of people and circumstances to create falsehoods and malign you, and there'll be persecutions against you. But you stand strong and never give in and never give up. Amen? See, this is the world we live in. The world will not love you. Jesus says, if the world hated me, it will also hate you, because we are followers of Christ. Today, we have the tremendous work of this, what's called the spirit of Antichrist across the entire world. And so realize that living the Christian life is a life where the Bible says those that live godly will suffer persecution. What does it mean to live godly? It means you follow the ways of God according to the word of God. Excuse me. This is our calling. So when God says, I'm a God of life, and we fight against abortion, or I'm a God of what we call traditional marriage between a man and a woman, and we say, no, homosexuality and homosexual marriages are wrong, we're standing up for righteousness. We're standing up for what God says. We're living godly. We're proclaiming righteousness. Now, if anybody is in any sin, heterosexual sin, homosexual sin, you've had an abortion, look it. God is here for you. He wants to love you. He wants to forgive you. He wants to help you. He wants to heal you. And if we can be a part of that process to help you get out of that sin or sins, we're here for you, because we're all sinners, okay? We've all done wrong. So I never want to sound like just point the finger at everybody and, you know, so forth. No, we want you to get saved in Christ and change. Live for God. So here's Joseph in his life. He's suffering persecution. He is following God. Satan knows that he's a man of God. And Satan keeps thinking, I can get rid of this guy, Joseph. Joseph was the one that had the dreams. Joseph is the one that saw himself being exalted over the rest of his brothers. Joseph is then all of a sudden, you know, thrown into a pit, and then he's taken out of the pit. Then he's sold to these Midianites, and then he's sold to this Egyptian Potiphar, and then he's accused of rape, and now he's thrown into an Egyptian prison. Oh, my goodness. What a life this guy has. But God is at work in and through him. Sometimes you just don't understand. But God is with you. Just keep walking by faith. Keep believing. You know, in chapter 40, we have some good news, some bad news, because there's going to be a baker and a butler. They're going to be talked about here. These two guys got themselves in trouble with Pharaoh, and they get thrown in prison with Joseph. And they each have a dream. And Joseph knows that God can interpret dreams, and he becomes the interpreter of their dreams. And with each of them, he's got, for one, good news, and for the other, bad news. Has anybody ever come to you and says, I've got some good news and some bad news? Yeah. What should you want first? It's like the patient. He was seeing his doctor, and the doctor said, I've got good news and I've got bad news. And the patient said, well, give me the good news first. Well, you're going to die in 24 hours. That's the good news? I'm going to die in 24 hours? Oh, my goodness. What's the bad news? I forgot to tell you yesterday. You're killing me. Get out of here. Yes, yes, yes. All right, let's get to chapter 40. Ready? Joseph interprets two dreams of life and death, all right? I've entitled our message, Joseph the Dream Weaver. Amen. It came to pass after these things that the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt offended their lord, the king of Egypt. And Pharaoh was angry with his two officers, the chief butler and the chief baker. So he put them in custody in the house of the captain of the guard in the prison, the place where Joseph was confined. And the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them, and he served them, so they were in custody for a while. So first of all, we find that this chief butler and the chief baker got themselves in trouble. What exactly did they do? You know, were they confiding with somebody or someone to maybe assassinate the Pharaoh? You know, Nehemiah, remember Nehemiah? He was later on in the future, he became the cupbearer for the king. That means he was always tasting the food and the drinks before the king would partake of it, because if it was poison, then he would die first. They were like, hey, don't eat that food. Don't partake of that drink, you know, and so forth. So he was the cupbearer for the king. And so we find here, you know, something really bad took place. So both these guys are thrown in prison, the butler and the baker. You know, usually we say the butler did it, yeah? That's the mystery crimes or whatever. So we need to have a criminal dream investigation that has to go on here pretty quick. So let's see what happens as they have their dreams, and then there's an investigation by Joseph. We get to verse 5. Then the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt, who were confined in the prison, had a dream, both of them, each man's dream in one night, and each man's dream with its own interpretation. And Joseph came to them in the morning and looked at them and saw that they were sad. So he asked Pharaoh's officers who were with him in the custody of the Lord's house, saying, why do you look so sad today? Now, they've been in there, and he just recognizes. One thing I like about Joseph, and I hope you can kind of take this to heart, he cares for people. He has compassion. Don't get so caught up in life and business that all of a sudden you forget about people. You know, you can be so driven, so ambitious to succeed and all these different things, you're forgetting about the people, your family, or the people around you at work. And everybody has a situation, a circumstance, something's going on in people's lives. Be that man or woman of God that's able to see it, to recognize it, and to be there for that certain somebody. Maybe they need prayer at that time. Maybe they need a scripture. Maybe they just need a word of encouragement. Maybe they need a helping hand. You know, years ago, as a brand new Christian, there was a couple that was having financial problems. And the Lord just spoke to my wife and I's heart, go out and buy them a bunch of groceries and just leave it on their doorstep, you know. Now, we didn't buy perishables and left it on their doorstep, but we just bought a bunch and just dropped it off. And it was a great blessing, and they were just so excited. Now, we didn't say, hey, we did it, kind of a thing. But you know what? When you see people in need, you step out, you reach out, and you help them. You want to bless their hearts and their lives. And maybe somebody's sick right now that you know, and you go, you know what? I've been thinking about seeing them. This message has just pushed me over the top. I need to go see them and talk to them and bless them and see how I can help them, because they don't have much family around them, you see? So God calls us, and God, he lays these things before us, and he wants us to respond. Now, either we become self-centered or Christ-centered, or other-centered, which is Christ-centered. Amen? So here he sees these guys. They look kind of sad. And why are you guys so sad today? Verse 8. And they said to him, we each have a dream, and there's no interpreter of it. So Joseph said to them, do not interpretations belong to God? Tell them to me, please. Now here again is Joseph's faith. Here this guy's in prison. Here this guy's gone through all these things, but he's never been rattled in his faith. He's never been shaken. He's never been moved. He's a man of God. He loves God. He knows his only hope is in God. Amen? Now, you and I as believers, we recognize that in this life, our only hope is God. And especially as we face eternity. Amen? I remember when I had my three heart attacks, I recognized, hey, these doctors are good. I appreciate all that they do. They work hard. They've studied hard. They do incredible things for us. I applaud them. beautiful, wonderful work that they do, and you know, all the nurses, they're helping out and all these things, but there's only one that can sustain your life, and it is God. It is the Lord Jesus Christ. So no matter what, we have faith in God. I remember walking down the hallway after the following day after the three heart attacks, and I, you know, they got you all rigged up with stuff, you know, and you got the little thing, and you got the funky little pajamas, whatever, and you know, trying to keep everything together. And you know, like, you're not gonna go walk, you know, kind of a deal. Okay, I'm walking down the hallway. I was going, Lord, why is this happening to me? I'm 32 years old. Why is this happening to me? And the Lord just, as clear as a bell, he just says, Daryl, to live is Christ, to die is gain. My grace is sufficient for you. And you know what I said? Really? No, I said, amen. Amen. From the age of 21, 32, to where I'm at today, my life is in the hand of God. I just saw my doctor on Friday, and I was sent to an oncologist, a cancer doctor. And I've been seeing him about every 6 months for about a year and a half now. And I told my wife, I said, honey, I don't think I have this thing called CLL. It's called chronic lymphocytic leukemia. I said, I think I just had some other issues going in my body. That's where my white blood cell count is up. So I'm like, we got to get this all fixed, and I need a final decision because I'm dealing with my life insurance policies and all this stuff. So she's all like, okay, Daryl, go ahead, you know. So I go down and see this guy, and I see the doctor, and I said, okay, now you did the blood test. I feel great. He goes, have you been sick? Well, yeah, I'm just getting over a cold. I go, okay, you're up a little bit. But I said, okay, I really don't have the CLL thing. He goes, Daryl, you have CLL. Really? And I said, I am such a problem child. Now, this little disease that I have, it's not like acute leukemia, which you can be gone in 5 years or less. This one lasts about 15 to 20 years. So I'm 32 now. I'll be 52. I said, 20 years, the rapture will happen before then. I'm out of here. But you know what? We just have to take it in stride. Amen? I know the devil hates my guts. And I know that these issues of life is just to strengthen me in my faith, not to destroy me. And he says, you may live all the way till 80-something. And he says, this it's there, but as long as it doesn't move, do anything, he says, we're good to go. If it starts going crazy and all that, then we'll get you on some medication and chemo and all that jazz. So he says, so don't worry about it. Just live your life. So, of course, you know, you immediately start researching everything about the funky little disease. You know, so I'm probably my own worst enemy. This has happened. Oh, no. You feel tired. Oh, I feel tired today. You know? But you know what? I've been through so many things. I'm like, it's just another one of these things in life. And the thing is for us is to live as Christ, to die as gain. Amen? And no matter what happens, we're going to keep marching forward. So anyway, that's my little personal testimony, what's going on in my own life. And each of you have your own story, don't you? Yeah, we have our own battles, don't we? And our hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ. We live for him, we serve him, we honor him. And like I always say, always go for God. Go for God. We never know what's going to happen driving out of here today. You see? So we always go for God. So here he says, hey guys, you look sad today. What's going on? God gives the interpretation. He has faith in God. He believes in God. God will give us the interpretation. See, he's witnessing already. He's witnessing his faith. These guys, the chief butler and the chief baker, are getting a testimony of the God of Israel, the God of Joseph. And that's what we have to do in everything in life, is we have a testimony. We go to verse 9. Then the chief butler told his dream to Joseph and said to him, behold, in my dream, a vine was before me. And in the vine were three branches. It was as though it budded. Its blossoms shot forth, and its clusters brought forth ripe grapes. Then Pharaoh's cup was in my hand. And I took the grapes, and I pressed them into Pharaoh's cup and placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand. And Joseph said to him, this is the interpretation of it. The three branches are 3 days. Now within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to your place. And you will put Pharaoh's cup in his hand according to the former manner when you were his butler. But remember me when it is well with you, and please show kindness to me, make mention of me to Pharaoh, and get me out of this house, out of this prison. Okay? So, Mr. Butler, God gave me the interpretation. Here's the interpretation. This is what's going to happen. And don't forget about me. I want to get out of here already. I haven't done anything wrong. Now, how about the baker? We go to verse 15. For indeed I was stolen away. Oh, he continues the sentence. For indeed I was stolen away from the land of the Hebrews, and also I've done nothing here that they should put me into the dungeon. Ooh, man, that makes it even worse, doesn't it? You ever been to a dungeon? You go to castles in Europe, yeah, and this is the dungeon, you know, kind of a deal. It's like, oh, wow, don't want to be in the dungeon. When the chief baker saw that the interpretation was good, he said to Joseph, I also was in my dream, and there were three white baskets on my head. In the uppermost basket were all kinds of baked goods for Pharaoh, and the birds ate them out of the basket on my head. So Joseph answered and said, this is the interpretation of it. The three baskets are 3 days. So far so good, yeah? 3 days like the butler? 3 days? Okay. What are the 3 days for me? Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift off your head. He said the same thing to the butler. And from you and hang you on a tree. And the birds will eat your flesh from you. Oh, good news and bad news. Good news for the butler, bad news for the baker. Wow, that is rough. So this is what's been interpreted. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift off your head from you and hang you on a tree, and the birds will eat your flesh from you. Now it came to pass on the third day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, that he made a feast for all his servants, and he lifted up the head of the chief butler and of the chief baker among his servants. Then he restored the chief butler to his butlership again, and he placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand. But he hanged the chief baker as Joseph had interpreted to them. Yet the chief butler did not remember Joseph, but forgot him. Bummer. Can you imagine Joseph? All right, the butler's there, the fulfillment 3 days, Pharaoh's birthday, and okay, I'm going to be getting out of here. He forgot him for 2 years. This is like 3 days or 4 days or a week or 2 months. He forgets about him for 2 full years because Pharaoh is going to have some dreams, and he can't find an interpreter. And all of a sudden, the light went on. Oh, there's this guy, Joseph. I forgot about him. How could you forget about this guy who just set you free? Now, folks, let me tell you something. People will forget about you. So I'm just saying it's a matter of fact. They'll forget about you. Don't they realize all the great things I did and they have forgotten about me? Let me tell you something real important. God doesn't forget. God remembers. And everything you do in the kingdom for him, the Bible says he's going to reward you in heaven. Well done, good and faithful servant. I gave one five, he got five back. I gave one two, he brought two back. I gave one, and he took it and he buried it. Take it from him, that one that he buried, and give it to somebody else, and this guy's going to be judged. What does all that mean in that parable, the parable of the talents? Well, as God gives us salvation, and he gives us the Holy Spirit, and he gives us the Word of God, and also we go to work for God, as we take everything he has and we invest it into his kingdom, the love, the joy, the peace, the goodness, the salvation, serving in the church, serving in the community, reaching out to people, helping people, blessing people in the name of Jesus. And he says, I will bless you. I will reward you double when you get to heaven. And the same with the guy with two. And then there's the guy that had one and he buried it. And Jesus says, You should have taken that one talent and given it to the bankers. At least you would have got some interest from it. But instead, you buried it in the ground. And the guy says, oh, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man. And so I buried it in the ground. Now, let me ask you something about Jesus. Is he a hard man? He's not a hard man. He's a loving Savior. He went to the cross for our sins. But this man took the very life that he had, the breath of life which God had given him, and he rejected God, he rebelled against God, he buried that which was given him into the earth, just as dust is and dust shall return. See, God gives life to everybody on planet earth. He gives us a spirit and a soul. He gives us a body, and he reveals himself inwardly and outwardly in his creation. And no one has any excuse about the existence of God. And if they reject Jesus Christ to the point of death, thus they will be buried and then face the judgment, which is Hades, then hell, and no second chances. See, this is where Jesus is saying, hey, you know what? You should have received me. I died for you. I've come to you. I want to save you. I want to use your life. I want you to invest in my kingdom, not the kingdom of this world. So it is interesting here that here is Joseph, and he's done all this. God has given him the interpretation. They received it. It's all fulfilled, but yet he's forgotten. So we'll always remember, God never forgets you and your work in his kingdom. Now, when we look at dreams, which is very interesting in the scriptures, I want to give you a definition from the Nelson's Bible Dictionary about dreams in the Bible. Because sometimes people say, I had this dream, and what do you think about it? Well, I'm kind of like real cautious. Because I really, God can use dreams, but you got to be careful. It could have been that bad burrito that you ate for dinner, okay? All right. If you can't base your life on dreams or nightmares or whatever. In fact, let me read to you out of Peter real quickly. It's in, you don't have to turn to it. I'll just read you the scripture. It came to me while I was last minute studying and putting some things together. This is a great scripture on interpretation. Peter says to us in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19, and so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. It's really best for us to keep ourselves in the Word of God, because the Word of God is a sure foundation. It is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. Jesus is the Word. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, okay? The Word is living and powerful. So don't base your life on dreams. Now, sometimes people go, well, it's an interesting dream. Let's compare it to the scriptures. That's the first thing you do. The second thing is, okay, don't base your life on the dream. If it comes to pass, it comes to pass. So be it. But base your life on the Word of God. And I share that with you because you go, oh, of course, Daryl, of course. Well, I do this one-hour Bible Answer Man answer program on Thursdays. It's called To Every Man an Answer. And about once a month, someone will call up and say, I have all these dreams, and I think God is really speaking to me through all these dreams. And I'm like, and there's no basis of what they're talking about from the Word of God. So I want to make sure we're always driven to the Word of God, and the Word of God drives us. Amen? So this is Joseph. He receives this interpretation. God's going to use his gift that he's been given to exalt him to be the right-hand man of Pharaoh. But here he is in the dungeon in prison. How would you, if I came to you and said, you're in a dungeon prison, guess what? You're going to be the vice president of the United States. Would you, you'd look at me and go, yeah, right. Well, that's basically what happened. He becomes the number two guy behind Pharaoh. Let's read. Let's pick it up. Oh, I was going to read to you about the dreams. They're too special. In ancient times, dreams, especially those of kings and priests, were thought to convey messages from God. In the Bible, these were sometimes prophetic in nature. In a dream, God warned Abimelech, the king of Gerar, not to touch Sarah because she was Abraham's wife. The Lord spoke to Jacob in a dream in which he renewed the covenant and assured Jacob of his protection and presence. There's two special cycles of dreams in which expert interpretation was involved. they occur in the Old Testament. The first cycle related to Joseph, which we're reading about right now, and these officers. The second cycle involved Daniel, the prophet of God, with the dreams coming to Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon. The dreams in each case pertain to events of the future. God granted the ability to interpret these dreams to Joseph and to Daniel. In the Old Testament, dreams were frequently associated with the Hebrew prophets, but dreams with their proposed prophecies were not accepted uncritically. The false prophet and his prophecy had to be recognized and rejected. The false prophet and his prophecies. Jeremiah especially denounced the prophets who spoke with lies. In the New Testament, God appeared to Joseph in a dream after his announcement of the forthcoming birth of Jesus. God also spoke through these dreams to protect the infant Jesus as God told him to go down to Egypt for a period of time until Herod dies and then come back. So God does use dreams, but we have to be very cautious and careful that we make sure the interpretation is from the Word of God. Now, here you find in verse 23, it says, Yet the chief butler did not remember Joseph, but forgot him. Joseph is obviously filled with great disappointment, but he has not given up on God. Go to chapter 41. Chapter 41, Joseph interprets dreams of salvation. Watch what happens. Then it came to pass at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh had a dream. And behold, he stood by the river. So 2 years now, Joseph is still in the dungeon. So Pharaoh has this dream, and he stood by the river, probably the river Nile, yes. Suddenly there came out of the river 7 cows, fine-looking and fat, and they fed in the meadow. Then behold, 7 other cows came up after them out of the river, ugly and gaunt, and stood by the other cows on the bank of the river. And the ugly and gaunt cows ate up the 7 fine-looking and fat cows. So Pharaoh awoke and said, "Holy cow!" No, he didn't say that. I had to add that in. I just thought of it. But never mind. Ever onwards. Those Chick-fil-A commercials, I like those with the cows that has a sign that says, "Eat more chicken," he's walking around. But anyway. So he has this wild dream, right? Okay, these healthy cows, big and fat, ugly, gaunt cows, eat the fat cows. Wow, that's crazy. Verse 5, he slept and dreamed a second time. And suddenly, 7 heads of grain came up on 1 stalk, plump and good. Then behold, 7 thin heads, blighted by the east wind, sprang up after them. And the 7 thin heads devoured the 7 plump and full heads. So Pharaoh awoke, and indeed it was a dream. Now it came to pass in the morning that his spirit was troubled, and he sent and called for all the magicians of Egypt and all its wise men. And Pharaoh told them his dreams, but there was no one who could interpret them for Pharaoh. Then the chief butler spoke to Pharaoh, saying, "I remember my faults this day, when Pharaoh was angry with his servants and put me in custody in the house of the captain of the guard, both me and the chief baker. We each had a dream in one night. He and I, each of us, dreamed according to the interpretation of his own dream. Now there was a young Hebrew man with us there, a servant of the captain of the guard. And we told him, and he interpreted our dreams for us. To each man he interpreted according to his own dream. And it came to pass just as he interpreted for us. So it happened, he restored me to my office, and he hanged him." Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him quickly out of the dungeon. Still there, 2 more years, out of the dungeon. And he shaved and changed his clothing and came to Pharaoh. Let's get you looking nice. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, I've had a dream. There is no one who can interpret it, but I have heard it said of you that you can understand a dream to interpret it. So Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, "It is not in me. God will give Pharaoh an answer of peace." Yahweh, the God of Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Always recognize what Joseph does and practice it yourself, which is what? Always give glory to God. It is God who made us. It is God who died for us. It is God who has saved us. And it is God who gives us eternal life. And he speaks to us daily. Is God speaking to you? Is he speaking to you as you have your devotions? Is he speaking to you as you're studying the Word of God? Is he speaking to you this morning? Now look, you can come here this morning. You can have your devotions. You can have your studies and be completely thinking about everything else in the world. And you just say, I attended. I read a chapter. I was trying to study, whatever. But you're thinking about all these other things. And I know, I've been there, okay? What has to happen to me, and I can share with you, I have to focus. And the way to focus is first pray. God, I want to hear your voice. I want you to speak to my heart. I need to know your word. I need to know your will. Guide me, help me, lead me, Jesus. Show me the way. In Jesus' name I pray. Yesterday, I had the honor of doing a memorial service for Mel's brother who passed away. And so before, you know, all I always pray, say, God, help me to deliver your message simply, fully, so people clearly understand salvation. I want to honor Harry, who passed away, and yet I want your message to go forth, Lord God. So the whole, the service got shifted a little bit. They had some problems there at the mortuary, so we were about 10 minutes late in getting started, so we were supposed to end at 11, so everything got a little bit delayed. And so it was about 5 to 11, and I was just wrapping up my message because there was beautiful eulogies and all these things, and hula, yeah, Helene? And it was, you know, I probably went a little bit long, but what else is new, right? But I figure if it's for people's salvation, I'll give a little, you know, want them to understand clearly. And so as I was wrapping it up, all of a sudden the funeral director, she comes running to the side. I'm standing here like this, and you have the side, there's a wall over there. And she goes, Pastor, Pastor. And I'm just starting to give the invitation for salvation, right? She goes, Pastor, Pastor, hurry up. And I'm looking at her and I'm thinking to myself, get thee behind me, Satan. She's a nice lady. I like her. But it was like, here I am. And if you would like to receive Christ, you know, you could raise your hand. I'm going to pray right now. And I was right there. You know, I was like, really? But anyway, you got to deal with these things, right? But gave the invitation. I think it was about 6 or 8 hands went up to receive Christ as their Lord and Savior. So it was a neat time together. And then we wrapped it up, and we were 10 minutes late after, you know, because we started 10 minutes late. The whole thing would have ended on time. But then we had a beautiful time at the gravesite. So it's good to know that Harry is with the Lord now. He had become a Christian, asked Christ to be a Savior. So this is what we find. Here's Joseph, and he's exalting God. He's testifying of God, the very first thing. And who is he talking to, you guys? Think about this. He could have been shaking in his little sandals, right? He's talking to Pharaoh, the top dog of the Egyptian empire. And here he is. He says, well, it is God who gives the interpretation. And that's important for us. No matter who we are or who we're with, always give glory and honor to God. Amen. All right, let's keep going. So in Pharaoh verse 15, and Pharaoh said to Joseph, I have had a dream, and there is no one who can interpret it, but I have heard it said to you, that you can understand a dream to interpret it. So Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, it is not in me. God will give Pharaoh the answer of, here's the key, peace. Is not Jesus the Prince of Peace? Yeah? God will give you an answer of peace, Pharaoh. Here it comes. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, behold, in my dream I stood on the bank of the river. Suddenly 7 cows came up out of the river, fine-looking and fat. They fed in the meadow. Then behold, 7 other cows came up after them, poor and very ugly and gaunt, such ugliness as I have never seen in all the land of Egypt. And the gaunt and ugly cows ate up the first 7, the fat cows. When they had eaten them up, no one would have known that they had eaten them, for they were just as ugly as the beginning. So I awoke. Also, I saw in my dream, and suddenly seven heads came up on one stalk, full and good. Then behold, seven heads, withered, thin, and blighted by the east wind, sprang up after them, and the thin heads devoured the seven good heads. So I told this to the magicians, but there was no one who could explain it to me. Then Joseph said to Pharaoh, "The dreams of Pharaoh are one. God," continued testimony, "God has shown Pharaoh what he is about to do. The seven good cows are 7 years, and the seven good heads are 7 years. The dreams are one. And the seven thin and ugly cows which came up after them are 7 years, and the seven empty heads blighted by the east wind are 7 years of famine. This is a thing which I have spoken to Pharaoh. God has shown Pharaoh what he is about to do. Verse 29, indeed, 7 years of great plenty will come throughout all the land of Egypt. But after them, 7 years of famine will arise, and all the plenty will be forgotten in the land of Egypt, and the famine will deplete the land. So the plenty will not be known in the land because of the famine following, for it will be very severe. And the dream was repeated to Pharaoh twice, because a thing is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass. Now, therefore, let Pharaoh select a discerning and wise man and set him over the land of Egypt. Now, as he said this, I'm thinking to myself, I hope it's me, I hope it's me, I hope it's me. And then he says this, let Pharaoh do this, and let him appoint officers over the land to collect one-fifth of the produce of the land, 20% of the land of Egypt in the seven plentiful years. And let them gather all the food of those good years that are coming and store up grain under the authority of Pharaoh and let them keep food in the cities. Then that food shall be as a reserve for the land of the seven, for the 7 years of famine, which shall be in the land of Egypt, that the land may not perish during the famine. So the advice was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of all his servants. And Pharaoh said to his servants, can we find such a one as this, a man in whom is, I want you to highlight this, the Spirit of God. When you walk by faith, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. When you're a man or woman of prayer, the Spirit of God will work in you and through you wonderfully and powerfully. And this is how we need to be as Christians. Now look, it inspires us, it motivates us, it challenges us to be that man or woman of God, so that God can use us in these last days. Amen? Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, inasmuch as God has shown you all this, there is no one as discerning and wise as you. You shall be over my house, and all my people shall be ruled according to your word. Only in regard to the throne will I be greater than you. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, see, I have set you over the land of Egypt. Wow. 2 years and longer sitting in a dungeon, sold by his brothers. And now he's the right-hand man of Pharaoh, and he's ruling over Egypt. This is our God. Our God takes those who are humble and he exalts them. Not weak, not weak. There's a difference. Humble. They believe in God. They follow God. They love God. They serve God. They want to honor God. They're humble under God. Their dependency is upon God. Joseph is not a weak man. He's a good man. He's a strong man. He's a courageous man. And he gives all the glory to God. Amen? What a message for us. Pharaoh said to Joseph, "See, I've set you over all the land of Egypt." Verse 42. And the Pharaoh took his signet ring off his hand and put it on Joseph's hand. That means you're going to be signing all the contracts. Everything's under your authority. My signet ring, with my signature, you'll press it into the wax, into the clay. Everything will be authorized by you. He says, put it on Joseph's hand, and he clothed him in garments of fine linen and put a gold chain around his neck, and Joseph became a rapper. No. He did it. He did become a rapper, I promise. I just came to my mind. I just, sorry about that. Get back to the word. Verse 43. And he had him ride in the second chariot which he had. And they cried before him, bow the knee. So he set him over all the land of Egypt. Pharaoh also said to Joseph, I am Pharaoh, and without your consent, no man may lift his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh called Joseph's name Zaphnath-Paaneah, which means treasury of the glorious rest. Treasury of the glorious rest. That's interesting. Treasury of the glorious rest. What a name. In other words, you will bring rest to all of Egypt. You are a treasure trove. See, when people get to know you, you're not bothersome. You're not contentious. You're not confusing. You're not depressing. But you are a treasury of rest to their souls through Jesus Christ. Amen? Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you what? Rest. You're at rest. You're at peace. And now you present the Prince of Peace and the one who gives all of us rest forever, Jesus Christ. Amen? So we find, he says, you should be called Zaphnath-Paaneah, and he gave him as a wife Asnath, daughter of Potipharah, priest of On. So Joseph went out over all the land of Egypt. Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went throughout all the land of Egypt. Now in the 7 plentiful years, the ground brought forth abundantly. So he gathered up all the food, of the 7 years which were in the land of Egypt. And he laid up the food in the cities. He laid up in every city the food of the fields which surrounded them. Joseph gathered very much grain as the sand of the sea until he stopped counting, for it was immeasurable. And to Joseph were born 2 sons before the years of famine came, whom Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On, bore to him. Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh, for God has made me forget all my toil and all my father's house. You know, the Bible says that as we're born again Christians, you're a new creation in Christ. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Your whole past life is dead and gone, folks. It's dead and gone. Paul the Apostle says, forgetting those things which are behind, pressing on to the high calling of Christ. So you can't change yesterday. You can only change today and tomorrow in Jesus Christ. Amen? And so he says, Manasseh, for God has made me forget all my toil and all my father's house. And the name of the second son was called Ephraim. For God has caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. You forget everything of the past, and now you are to be a fruitful believer in Christ. Amen. Then the 7 years of plenty which were in the land of Egypt ended, and the 7 years of famine began to come, as Joseph had said. The famine was in all lands, but in all the land of Egypt there was bread. So when all the land of Egypt was famished, the people cried to Pharaoh for bread. Then Pharaoh said to all the Egyptians, go to Joseph. Whatever he says to you, do. The famine was over all the face of the earth, and Joseph opened up all the storehouses and sold to the Egyptians. And the famine became severe in the land of Egypt. So all countries came to Joseph in Egypt to buy grain because the famine was severe in all lands. Can you imagine? He's not only like the leader of Egypt, but all countries are coming to the God of Israel. Amen. To Joseph. That Joseph, of course, in the typologies, he's like Christ. Christ provides all things for us. Christ causes us to have our past completely washed away. Christ causes us to be fruitful believers in the love of God. Christ causes us to be witnesses of God. God speaks to us and we speak to others because we want to testify of his glorious, glorious kingdom and his wonderful love. When Jesus gives us the Holy Spirit, there are 10 things I want to bring to your attention. That's real quick. Number one, we become born again, born from heaven. It's a new birth. When you give your heart to Christ, you're born again from heaven. The Spirit of God comes into you, resides in you, and will change you. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit's job in John 14:26 is to be our teacher. The Bible says in John 15:26-27, he's also our helper. Number two, John 14:15-18. John 14:26, he's our teacher. John 15:26-27, number four, the Holy Spirit will testify of Jesus in us and through us for the sake of others. Number five, John 16:7-11, the Holy Spirit will convict us, meaning he will change our lives. Number six, John 16:13, the Holy Spirit will guide us into all truth, will recognize deception and lies, and will know the truth. Number seven, John 16:13, the Holy Spirit will tell us things to come, speaking of the future of the world to the very end, the second return of Christ and so forth, and all the way through all eternity. Number eight, John 16:14, the Holy Spirit will glorify Jesus. Number nine, in Acts 1:8, the Holy Spirit will fill us with power, power to be witnesses of Jesus Christ, power to do whatever God calls us to do. And then number 10, the Holy Spirit will bless us with a variety of gifts, gifts of pastors and teachers and evangelists and administrators and gift of helps and gift of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, 1 Corinthians 12, healing and miracles and tongues and interpretation of tongues and faith, wisdom and knowledge and discerning of spirits. God will give us these beautiful gifts because he loves us and he wants to use us for his glory, for his honor, and for his praise. You know, as Joseph does this great work in Egypt and all the lands come to him, you remember what Jesus said to us in John 6:35-36? He says, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. Our God provides forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. That's a long time, amen? Let's all stand and pray. Father, we love you and we thank you for this beautiful, incredible, magnificent historical event in Egypt, in the life of Joseph, a man who endured the trials, the afflictions, the sufferings, a man who was imprisoned and falsely accused, a man who was forgotten and completely, surely discouraged, but yet he never gave up on you. Jesus, we will never give up on you. You said that you will never leave us nor forsake us. You'll always be working in us and through us. And so, Lord, we want to give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise, and all thanks. And all God's people said, amen. As every head is bowed, every eye is closed right now, are you saved? If you die without Christ, you're like that one that buried a talent in the dirt. And that the very life God has given you is going to be cast to hell forever. But if you come to Jesus Christ, you'll be filled with his Holy Spirit. You'll be filled with his love, his peace. Your sins will be forgiven and forgotten, gotten rid of. And now you'll be empowered to live for Christ. You won't be perfect. You only become perfect when you reach heaven. But you'll be empowered. If you want Jesus Christ to come into your heart, save your soul, then raise your hand right now. Anybody here not saved, you want to get saved, raise your hand. Anybody here this morning? Anybody not saved? Any backsliders need to get out of Egypt and get back to the kingdom of God? Amen? Anybody? Father, anoint this congregation, anoint your people, anoint our precious children, guide us together as one in these last days. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Let's go for God.